Want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. We've heard a lot of good things already today, and I trust we can continue with our hearts in God's Word. I'd like to speak this morning on a theme that is often spoken of, a little hard to define, many times misunderstood, and that is grace. After what we've been looking at this, for some time here this past week, and grace is something that brings comfort, it brings courage, it brings a sense of direction, brings guidance, and the right, given in the right sense. I'll say many times it's misunderstood, misinterpreted. But I'd like to just give you an opportunity to, if you think about grace, what are some of the songs that come with the theme of grace? A songwriter, many times there's good theology in songs. And there's some songs that speak specifically of grace. I'll share one. I'd like for you to share some others. Or one more thing. How do you define grace? If someone asks you, what is grace? How would you define it? There's some acronyms. There's some sayings, there's some things that we often use, but what is it exactly? Does anybody want to share something? How would you define grace? Okay, an opportunity to do right. There's an acronym. Okay, I like that, James. Doing things God's way, okay? Somebody put an acronym together that I think is very accurate, but it's not comprehensive, but it is good, and that is God's riches at Christ's expense. A.W. Tozer says God's unmerited favor, and it certainly is that. But neither one of those say it completely, and yet there's some really good things in that. But what is grace? The one song that came to my mind was That Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, and it's not in our hymn books, but I think we could probably sing it. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. And the refrain goes, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? And then the refrain again. Andy, would you lead that song for us there? I think we can sing that by heart. Okay, thank you very much. 321 in the Christian hymnal.
Thank you. seaways cold, wrapped in the soul with infinite laws. Grace is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge of mighty cross.
Notice the verse that goes with that song, Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Right across the page is another beautiful hymn on grace, Amazing Grace, probably the most common English hymn that is sung in the world, Amazing Grace. And he mentions Amazing Grace. He mentions grace. I like this verse all through the song here. It says, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And the story of John Newton's conversion is a beautiful story of God's grace. A man that, looking at him, would have seen impossible, and yet when he turned from his slave trading ways to turn to God, able to write a song that we sing today to God's grace. Verse 2, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will bring me home. Through many, the Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know, those thoughts, those words, how he puts them together, I just can't get my mind quite around them. Beautiful story of grace. I said that grace is often misunderstood, and someone once wrote a description for cheap grace, I'd like to read that so we don't misunderstand. Cheap grace means grace as a doctrine, a principle, a system. It means the forgiveness of sins proclaimed as a general truth, the love of God taught as the Christian conception of God, an intellectual assent to the idea that is held to be of self-sufficient to secure the remission of sins. The church which holds the correct doctrine of grace, it is supposed in part, is that grace in such a world, the world finds a cheap covering for its sin. No contrition is required, still less any real desire to be delivered from sin. Cheap grace, therefore, amounts to a denial of the incarnation of the Word of God. Cheap grace means the justification of sin without the justification of the sinner. Grace alone does everything, they say, and so everything can remain as it was before. All for sin could not atone. The world goes on in the same way as it did, and we are all still sinners, even in the best of life. Let the Christian live like the rest of the world. Let him model himself on the world's standards in every sphere of life and not presumptuously aspire to live a different life under grace from his old life under sin. That's what somebody has determined as cheap grace, where there is no repentance, no change of life, and someone going that way is going to find that that's very expensive. I remember a number of years ago, we did a job in Ava. We were remodeling, building on, and adding to a barn. And it was used as a feed mill. The thing was incredibly dusty, but it had a ceiling in there built of styrofoam that was nailed to the bottom of the trusses. And it gave us a complete secure feeling to be up there. And right down here was the ceiling, and you could see it was covered with dust, and it looked just as solid as could, I mean, it looked okay. But we were 16 feet high. And one of us dropped a hammer, it went right through the ceiling. But it felt good. It actually, we could run up and down those trusses, and none of us slipped, and it was a good feeling. That's the definition of cheap grace. It's not going to hold you up. If it's just in the head where it doesn't change the life, is what we're talking about. That was okay. It felt all right, and it actually ended up giving us a sense of security. But it was a complete false sense. It wouldn't have done anything to. It would have done almost nothing to slow us down a little bit on our descent. But fortunately, none of us had to experience that. But I still remember the feeling of how secure it was, and then you get away from that ceiling and you see way on down there, and then you have to be real careful when you climb around. And you be careful that you don't make a misstep. Otherwise, you could swing around on the trusses there and walk up and down on the purlins and act like you knew what you were doing. And we did. We got it down and a lot of it can contribute to that false sense of security that we had there. But many times people live their Christian life that way, with that false sense of grace being able to cover all our sin. When there's no repentance, when there's no change of life, when there's no change of direction, when there's no change of seeing how God really is. The scripture that we have in Galatians, where it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap," does not in any way conflict with God's grace. There is that promise. But what God has done is he has not only provided the way, but he has also given us the power to live for him. I'd like to start by some scripture in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, also 13 and 14. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What is grace? Grace is not a dormant, abstract quality, but a dynamic, active, working principle. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation and instruction. I'd like to share some thoughts from John MacArthur, and this is an essay that he has written, and I'm adding the scriptures here. But in King James, it says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And some of the others, I can't remember which one it was anymore. I didn't look at it yesterday, but it says that for the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men hath appeared. It just changes that phrase around and gives it a slightly different thought. And it's a beautiful thought that the grace of God that brings salvation to everyone has appeared. Now, how does that apply to everyone? It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the result of grace in a man's life. In a person's life is going to be a change of heart, a change of life, and a change of direction. And it's a beautiful picture of grace. One of the most powerful books that I've read this past year, is this Case for Grace by Lee Strobel. He outlines a number of people that, if you've read any of his books, you know that he's a journalist, that he went from being an atheist to a Christian by studying a case for a creator, a case for Christ, a case for faith, a case for... He writes a lot of case books, but anyhow, this is a tremendous work. And he outlines a number of people that experience God's grace in a tremendous way. People that were down and out sinners, people that were not too bad. One was an executioner that was in Cambodia during their big civil war when they had those huge purges. This executioner was there, and he was he would decide which people would live and which people would die. And he got in contact with a man that lost a lot of his family. This man extended grace to this person. He found the Lord. He changed his life. He's facing life in prison, but he has a ministry there where he's sharing the gospel of Christ to other prisoners that are there. It's really hard to believe sometimes, but this is the work of God. This is the work of grace. This is what God's transforming power is. Grace is described as someone not getting what they deserve, but getting a gift instead. Grace is not merely on favor, unmerited favor. It's favor bestowed on sinners who deserve wrath. Showing kindness to a stranger is unmerited favor. Doing good to one's enemies is more the spirit of grace. In Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 27, we have a passage here where Jesus teaches Christians how to act. He doesn't use the word grace one time, but it describes an act of grace in a tremendous way. Luke 6:27. "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them, those that love them. And if ye do good to them to which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners lend also to sinners, and to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. In his book here, Strobel points out that grace is a quality that is not found in any other religion outside of Christianity. There's other religions may stress mercy, may stress compassion, may stress other things, but grace is something that is a little different. When we stop and help somebody that's stranded on the road change their tire or get them out of trouble or something like that, it's like he's saying here, it's unmerited favor. That's one aspect of it. But when we have an enemy, when we have someone that doesn't like us, and we do good for their evil, that is grace. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us to do. Grace is a powerful, and grace is powerful in its sense of showing that God is in control of our life. Grace that is able to change and to empower someone. Grace is God's sovereign initiative to sinners. In Ephesians 1, verses 3 and following, it says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Incidentally, this I'm just going to read one sentence out of Ephesians. But this is a beautiful sentence and glorious. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Grace is able to appreciate the riches of the forgiveness of sins and to stand in his way. He says grace is not a one-time event in Christian experience. We stand in grace. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's a continual, it's transforming, and it's a continual state of being, to be living and walking in grace. It's an ongoing thing. Hebrews 13, verse 9. It says, The entire Christian life is driven and empowered by grace. It is good that the heart be strengthened with grace and not with foods. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of emphasis given on what God's people should and should not eat. And Paul, if it is Paul that writes in Hebrews, which obviously it seems to be. He writes this, "Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." And he, again, emphasizes the fact that living in grace, living in God's power is an ongoing thing. It's a state. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meat. Peter said we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is also an ongoing, continual thing, state. Much is said about grace in the book of Romans. Paul often contrasted grace with law. How does that compare? In Romans 5:20, I already read that. Let's read Romans 6:13. "Neither yield ye as members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from that heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." And this is all telling us that a true understanding of grace is going to be of a person whose life is working the righteousness of God, not our own, but working in his way and working for his glory. Paul says in Galatians, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if the righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And there again, it's just a beautiful thing that God has given us both the ability and the riches of his love to work in his way. Galatians 5, verse 4, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." Paul did not say that grace did away with the moral demands of the law, but he makes it clear that it fulfills the righteousness. And grace has its own law, a liberating law. "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death," it says in Romans 8:2. And James 1:25 says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." He talks about this perfect law where a man is a doer. And he also emphasized the fact that that grace does not allow a continual living in sin. Romans 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" I believe that this is the good news of the gospel. God has not only provided a way for the forgiveness of sin, but he's also given us the power that we don't have to live in sin, that we can live above sin and be right in his sight. When we fail, that grace is there is extended to us for our salvation. If we take it for what it is, if we come to Him in repentance, but He's also looking for a relationship with His people that He wants to enjoy for eternity. So instead of giving us what we deserve, He gives us the gift of eternal life and gives us a hope of being with Him in glory one day. Grace reigns through righteousness. And second and 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, 17, he talks about His coming again and to take us from anything that will hurt and destroy us. One more scripture in Ephesians 2, verse 10, where it says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Grace is a tremendously wide subject, and there's plenty of room for a wrong perspective, to have the wrong filter as we look at it. But as we see it with a heart that sees God as wanting a relationship with His children, we can see, I think, it honestly. And there's a lot of what is called so-called grace that doesn't play true. But I believe that there's when you have a story that is, when you have a testimony of something that is true, it's going to be judged by the Word of God, you know, what the Bible says is grace and what isn't. I've been blessed by a number of stories of God's grace in a number of different ways, but this book, A Case for Grace, is really a tremendous a collection of those kind of stories, and I would encourage you to read that. I have almost seldom can you say that you have no reservation at all in reading a general book, but this one is, I have very few reservations in there. There's another song that comes to mind, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Let's sing a verse of that. Andy, would you lead that for us, please?
Greater than all our sin, how can my tongue describe? Where shall this grace begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of
Okay, let's come to the Lord in prayer.